So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it so that people will fear him. Whatever is has already been, and what will be has been before, and God will call the past to account. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word, your word to us. And we ask, Lord, that now by the power of your Spirit, you will speak to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Bill Hybels writes, these verses written by King Solomon call for change. They invite us to consider the seasons of our lives through the landscape of eternity. And this is key to simplifying our lives. So we've got to try and unpack that theory a little. In these days, we find that the seasons of the year are not quite what they used to be, are they? Our winters are not so cold. Our summers, though this one hasn't been bad, haven't been so hot, and so on. But even though the weather has changed, the seasons of the year still exist. We could see our annual calendar, our year of 365 days, or 366 in a leap year, as just a string of days. But we don't, because they have, through the way God created things to be, been given an identity. They are winter, spring, summer, autumn. Seasons which have definite purpose and a beginning and an end. And we adjust the way we live and the ways we dress according to each season. Unless, of course, you are like my husband who wears shorts, whatever the season. Verse 1, King Solomon writes, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. Here King Solomon encourages us as we live out our days on earth not to view our lives as a string of random days, but to identify them as the changing seasons of our lives. of which there are not just four, but dozens of different seasons. When we do that, Bill Hybels says, we increase our ability to cooperate with God, recognizing his guiding hand, follow his lead, and accept the end of one season as the beginning of the next. The seasons of our lives are a bit like the weather. They are not predictable or controllable by us. It's God who is in control. Some of our seasons will be very short, others very long, but they will all have a definite purpose, a beginning and an end. Over the first two seasons Solomon speaks of, the time of our birth and the time of our death, we can have no influence. The other seasons, however, will require us to make choices and decisions. Another commentator on this passage writes, "The primary focus of the passage is on God and the human response to the activity of God. God is sovereign over life, and humans cannot change that which God sets in motion, but must learn to make themselves open to the seasons of life as they come and to enjoy what God gives." It's also important to note that this text is not written to tell us the right time to do things. It is written to help us understand that all of these things do happen, that life is a combination of contrasting seasons, and when we live our life as God wants us to, then all of these experiences have meaning, purpose, and value for our life. If we're looking for guidance on when and when not to do things, there is great wisdom to be found throughout the rest of the Bible, especially in Proverbs and the New Testament. So we need to firstly recognise the seasons of our life. All of us here, no matter what age we are, have already recognised and been through many different seasons, I'm sure. Some of them very good and some of them very difficult. So let us take a look at one or two of them. The season Solomon speaks of in verse 4 will certainly be familiar to us all in one way or another. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Now, laughing and dancing I like the sound of, but weeping and mourning, none of us like the sound of that. But in this life it is inevitable. When we think of weeping and mourning, we probably first think of losing someone we love in death. Weeping and mourning is a very natural and important response at these times, of course. But it's not only the death of a loved one that causes us to mourn. Loss of other kinds can lead us into a season of mourning. Loss of a job, a broken marriage, surgery, which causes us to lose a body part or an organ. And then there's that empty nest syndrome, which can take us into a time of weeping and mourning. I know, because I've been there. The children we have spent 21 years or so raising to be independent suddenly, much to our surprise, become independent and leave home to start their own lives. The house becomes very quiet, and for a while you wonder what on earth you're going to do with yourself now. And you miss them. And you go on missing them. Maybe our best and closest friend moves to pastures new. And whilst the phone and social media are good for keeping in touch, we mourn the intimate times of sharing our souls with one another. Nothing can replace person-to-person contact, can it? So whether it's the children or someone else we have cared for, or our friends, mourning the physical nearness of those of them can cause us to feel very lonely. Bob Dylan puts it better than I can in one of his more obscure songs, a song called March Into the City, where he seems to be lamenting the departure of a close girlfriend. In one verse he says, "Loneliness got a mind of its own. The more people around you, the more you feel alone." And that's just how it can be for us at times. The more people we have around, the more we feel alone in our grief. There are many forms of loss, and when they occur, we need to recognise the grief we feel. It's a season you or I may be in right now. It's not a season we would choose, but it comes nonetheless. And so we must give ourselves permission to mourn and express our grief. Just how we do so appropriately will be different for each of us, and different again for each loss we face and the circumstances around it. I know it's very easy when we are mourning in any way to want to cut ourselves off from others. Just pulling the sheets over our heads seems like the best plan. It's hard even to come to church. For when people say kind words to us, it makes us weep even more. People may well not always get it right, but if we stay away, we deny ourselves the chance of someone putting a little hope into our situation, or of us being uplifted by a worship song, encouraged by a sermon, or something else that happens during a church service, which helps us to remember the joy we have in Jesus. Bill Hybels suggests that when we open ourselves up to others in this season, we may well find ourselves developing deeper or even new friendships. People who will come alongside in right ways and walk with us until in due time we move out of our season of acute mourning. There is no right way to mourn. The key is in finding a way that is real for us and allowing ourselves to feel the loss, so that in God's timing, we can leave our season of mourning. Bob Dylan, who was a professing born-again Christian in the 70s, includes another line in his song. He says, I've been hit too hard, seen too much. Nothing can heal me now but your touch. He's speaking to God there. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus reminds us that he came to heal the brokenhearted. And Psalm 139 says he knows every thought before we think it and every word before we speak it. So it's absurd to try and hide our feelings from him. He can read us like an open book. Jesus knows just how we feel and also reminds us many times over that he is always with us. That when he lives in us, we are never alone and need never be lonely. For when we seek him with all our heart, we shall find him. My daily Bible notes this week reassured me of this, saying, For he is nearer than we dare believe, closer than the air we breathe, is the breath in our lungs. All we have to do is recognise his presence, and we need never feel lonely again. There is joy to be found in every season, for Jesus is with us in every season of life. When we do know the close presence of Jesus, there are times when we may be called to a different kind of mourning. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." In talking to his disciples, his closest friends, he reminds them that they cannot seek happiness the way the world does. Here, Jesus seems to indicate that this kind of mourning is due to grief over sin. The happiness Jesus speaks of comes to those who mourn over their own sin. A mourning which leads to repentance is truly blessed, for repentance results in forgiveness from God. We have been reminded of this through the first of our memory verses during our morning summer services. Now, it's 3 weeks ago or so, and it's Isaiah 66, verse 2. Can you remember that verse, anyone? It starts, "These are the ones." Well done. "These are the ones I look on with favour, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and who tremble at my word." When we turn to God in our sin, we are blessed. We may also, of course, be called to mourn on a universal level as we look at the state of the world around us. It is not wrong to weep for the broken, the needy, the abused, the hungry, the persecuted. Indeed, it's very difficult not to weep as we see their faces on TV or in the newspaper. Jesus himself wept as he looked at the state of Jerusalem. Mourning does indeed take many forms, and we experience many differing and difficult seasons of it. Sometimes difficult seasons follow on from each other, and that can be very challenging. But the comforting truth of this scripture is that new seasons do lie ahead for us. There will be a season for laughing and dancing. Never did I find this to be more true than very recently. Many of you know that my close friend of 55 years died this year at the age of 63. Together with other close friends, I had been in a season of mourning for almost 3 years as we watched motor neuron disease very rapidly take away the Lynn we knew and loved. Our mourning was deeply intensified as we held her funeral on the 7th of June. Just 3 days later, on the 10th of June, our mourning did indeed turn to laughing and dancing and much rejoicing as we received the good news that our first grandson, Joel, had been safely delivered. It was a roller coaster ride of emotions, which left me shattered, and from which I needed to take time out for a couple of days to recover. As I did, I reflected on the events of the week, and I was caused to remember again a far more significant story where mourning turned to dancing in just 3 days. Jesus was crucified and died on the cross. All those who loved him wept and mourned for him. But that was Friday. 3 days later, on Sunday, their weeping and mourning turned to laughing and dancing. God had kept his promise and had done an amazing thing. He had raised Jesus from the dead. In the course of our lifetime, we will pass through many seasons of mourning. But as we do so, it's good to remember Sunday's coming. For we will all pass through countless seasons of laughing and dancing. For God continues to do amazing things. For the benefit of our souls and the restoration of our joy, we must not let our seasons of dancing slip by unnoticed. No matter how slow or fast they follow on from our seasons of mourning. The Old Testament is packed with detailed instructions from God for festivities and celebrations. The writer of Psalm 30 gives us an insight into his experience of God's abundant love, grace, and mercy. He writes, "You turn my wailing into dancing. You remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy." God gives us full permission for joy-filled seasons of dancing. And the way to thank him is to dance. Dear brothers and sisters, if you are in a season of dancing now, then I urge you, dance. Literally, if you feel like it. For appropriate expression of our joy is equally as important as expression of our grief. Please don't mishear me. I will always miss my lovely friend, and I will lapse back into moments of sadness, I know. But now she is no longer suffering, I find I can give thanks and rejoice greatly over the gift of Lynn, which God gave to me. Lynn loved to party. I have many silly, or what you might call saft, photographs to prove it. And now on her behalf, as well as for myself, I can doubly rejoice over the God-given joy of our lovely grandson, and who too Lynn would have danced over. Let's look further down Solomon's list now to some different seasons. Verse 8, there is a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. We may not always find loving and keeping the peace easy, But we can understand that there is a time for these things in our lives. And as Christians, we know it is what Jesus calls us to. We believe that. But is there really a time for hate? Can we believe that? Truth is, of course, and here's something else we find hard to do, we are not called to hate people, no matter how evil they are. But we are called to hate the evil they do and the wickedness we see all around us. We should hate it when we see children starving or mistreated. We should fight for their cause. Here at Holy Trinity, we often repeat the phrase, God is good, all the time. Unfortunately, we are not good all the time. And Scripture also reminds us that all fall short of the glory of God. And so we should also hate it when we or others dishonour God in any way. Hate is indeed a very strong word, but it does have its place in the seasons of life. Solomon lists a total of 28 seasons. You could be in for a long night. But you'll be pleased to know I'm not going to go through all of them. They are given as snapshots of the types of seasons we are likely to experience over our lifetime. Some of these seasons are easy to identify, others are less easy. Bill Hybels says we can bring clarity and simplicity to our lives by learning to identify the season we are in. For when we can identify the seasons as they come and go, then we are more equipped to fully engage in that season and be able to not only recognise God's hand in it all, but to learn the lessons he has for us while we are in a particular season. We need to live in the seasons of life. Though each season may recur several times in our lives, each time is a unique one. It's a never-to-be-repeated season. When we fully engage in each season, lessons for life can be learned which we could learn no other way. When the season is a hard one, it's easy to want to try and escape from it and ignore the reality of it through distractions such as keeping busy, drinking more alcohol, eating more cake or other stuff, or even asking, why me, God, and turning in on ourselves in self-pity. For those of us who follow Jesus and want to become more like him, through these hard, painful times, God has good lessons to teach us if we look to him. For he is continually working to refine our lives and make us more like Jesus. As we turn to him in these times, he will teach us something more about ourselves, help us to adapt to the season. But more importantly, he will also teach us more about his goodness and his love and concern for us. If the season is a good one, so often we tend not to question it. But if we accept the fact that there is a reason for every season, then it's good to explore what God is trying to teach us through the good seasons too. Those seasons when the burdens of life seem less heavy and we have more time for relaxation and reflection. These are ripe times for going deeper with God through the study of his word, prayer and praise. I try to fit my own times of retreat into these seasons so I can more fully, in heart and mind, be with God. It doesn't always work out, of course, because we never know when one season will change to the next. But God is gracious and meets us in our need whenever we choose to spend time out with him. Solomon also says there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. I get those mixed up sometimes. The busyness of life and the high decibel level of noise, both in our society and in our own heads, makes it very hard to hear God's quiet whispers of encouragement, guidance, or correction. But there is a time for silence. As you can see from Solomon's lists, they are in pairs, contrasting one with the other. The main point being that seasons end and new seasons begin. We can greatly simplify our lives by recognising when the season we are in is coming to an end, when it's time to move on. And Bill Hybels highlights several things which may stop us from moving on. One of them is unforgiveness. He asks us to consider this question. Are you still waiting for justice from someone who wronged you in the past? His advice is move on. Don't shackle yourself to a season that will only ever hold bitterness. If you are in a season of unforgiveness because of physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual abuse, please know that these are seasons that God never designed for us to experience. So don't give the wrongdoer in your life power over you. Take steps to move on. If you can't do that on your own, seek help so that you can. Step into a new season where forgiveness can unlock those shackles and free you from being bound to the unkindness, thoughtlessness, cruelty of another. Draw a line in the sand and say, today's the day I move on. I've got to leave this season. It's time to step into forgiveness and the freedom it brings. Moving out of one expired season into another can be hard, for like the guy in the TV coffee advert, we don't like change. When I first read this book, it enabled me to see that I was a bit stuck in a particular season of my own life. I think the words in the book which both challenged and encouraged me most were these. If you have learned all you can from God through your current season, then don't linger any longer. Move on. Move on for God's sake, your own sake, and for the sake of those around you. When your current season draws to a close, don't fight it. Jump into a new season. Simplify your life by stepping forward, leaving the old life behind and looking for the lessons God has for you in the next season. Then you will find meaning, purpose, and satisfaction for each season and beyond. We close with this thought from Solomon, verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Good or bad, easy or difficult, every season on this earth is temporary. Life on earth is not our final season. One day our earthly season will finish and a new reality begin. Even people who do not believe in God have a deep sense within that there is more to life than this, that there is something else after this life. God himself built that sense into all humankind. He has also set eternity in the human heart. This means that we can never be completely satisfied with earthly pleasures and pursuits. Because we are created in God's image, we have a spiritual thirst. We have eternal value, and nothing but the eternal God can truly satisfy us. Someone else wrote this. God has built in us a restless yearning for the kind of perfect world that can only be found in his perfect rule. He has given us a glimpse of the perfection of his creation. But it is only a glimpse. We cannot see into the future or understand everything. So we must trust God now and do his work on earth. As we do, we must acknowledge that his timing in all things is perfect. In the conclusion of his book, Bill Hybels writes, if whilst we live on earth, we who know the Lord Jesus Christ also find grace and forgiveness as we move from one season through another, learning his lessons and finding meaning and purpose for our lives, then when we get to the end of our earthly seasons, we will be invited into the next season with God in heaven forever. There we will experience his companionship, his joy, and his goodness. for those who choose to live their earthly seasons apart from God, who choose their own path rather than the path of forgiveness through Jesus. The eternal season they experience will look much different. When all the seasons of this life are past, the next season is a forever season. If you are unsure where you will spend your eternal season, resolve it now. Move from a season with an uncertain future to a season of spiritual peace and hope. And when you step into that final season, you will discover a level of satisfaction you could never arrange for yourself here on earth. A satisfaction that lasts for all eternity. There is indeed a time for everything. And right now, it's time for me to shut up and allow some time for silence. Some time for us to reflect on the passage and the things God is seeking to say to us through it. Some time to ask ourselves a few questions, perhaps. You wait on the Spirit. If God puts the question in your heart, then it's a question to ask yourself. But here's a few suggestions. Perhaps have you identified the season you're in right now? What season are you in right now? Be honest with yourself about that. What is God trying to teach you in this season? Are you fully engaged in this season? Whether it's a good or a bad one, what could you do to embrace this season more wholeheartedly? Or are you currently stuck in an expired season, as I was myself a bit? What new season is God opening up to you? What steps can you take to move on?